Welcome to Twitch Talk. Twitch Talk with Skylar Guns.
How you doing, my friend? How you doing?
A Twitch streamer.
Mother effer. All right, guys, I'm dead.
And TikToker with over 80,000 followers.
Facts.
If you're a streamer or content creator trying to grow your audience, you're listening to the right podcast. Skylar chats with guests who've achieved success with streaming using TikTok.
So how'd you get started? What are your keys to success? How has your success on TikTok helped grow your brand?
Learn their tips and tricks and everything TikTok related. Listen, it's time to showcase your content and grow your streams using TikTok. So let the conversation begin. This is Twitch Talk. Twitch Talk. Here's your host, Skylar Guns.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? You're listening to Twitch Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Guns. And today I have with me a guest, streamer turned to full-time TikTok editor. Edits for people like Joe O, Mutex, Jared FPS, so much more. Probably knows a thing about editing a TikTok or two. Here to share all his knowledge, I have with me Vonnie. How you doing, Vonnie?
Good, Skylar. Thanks for having me, dude.
Of course. Appreciate you doing this. So you, pre-COVID, you started editing TikToks and stuff for yourself, right? And then somehow you got into the, like, you got into editing for all these, like, huge COD creators that not even just, like, not just TikTok themselves, but people who wanted to start, you know, branching out into TikTok. I mean, you know, these people are huge. I mean, how did that happen? I'm, like, curious on how this journey happened and what you were doing before COVID.
Well, before that, I was just working. Actually, I was working sales and then IT, so just kind of normal stuff. And then, I mean, I always was into content and streaming and stuff kind of throughout life, but it was always very inconsistent. And then, like, I just really kind of got obsessed with, I got Premiere. I did a bunch of research on figuring out what program was the easiest to self-teach on. And Premiere kept coming up as, you know, kind of the one to go with. So basically, I spent like a year just kind of self-teaching by messing around on YouTube. Eventually, I made a TikTok. And then I think it was actually like a one, almost on like 1 year of editing, I reached out. I made a video. Actually, hold on. Let me rewind just a little bit. Because, okay, so obviously, I was actually hanging out in a Lucci stream. And he was talking about this guy named Joe Woe. I had no idea who he was at the time. Joe was like averaging like a couple hundred viewers, I think, at the time. And I mean, he wasn't doing bad. Don't get me wrong. He was doing great. But Lucci made the comment that, you know, this guy is amazing at the game and would be killing TikTok if he had an editor. So I was like, fucking light bulb. And like, I went and grabbed, all I did was went and grabbed one of my favorite clips I could find on Joe's Twitch page. Brought it into Premiere, edited it, and added him on Twitter and was like, yo, you want a TikTok editor? I'd love to do it. And he loved the clip, retweeted it, used it on his TikTok, and it went off. And, like, that's just kind of how that all started. And it just kind of spiraled from there, I guess.
Dang. So did everybody else that you started editing for, did that kind of come from Joe-O? Like, just kind of knowing that person and kind of other people hearing about it? Or did you, like, seek out these people?
Really, it kind of, people seeked me out after that. Joe was really like the only one I reached out to on my own. And then, I was lucky that I already had, you know, kind of my own, I'm not like big, like these guys are, but like I had my own established following on TikTok. So I had already networked with quite a few people. And, you know, through that, a lot of people were like, oh, I see what you're doing with Joe. You know, my buddy so-and-so needs an editor. So, I mean, that's, it was kind of mostly just word of mouth, though, from there.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, it's crazy, too. I mean, all the people that you edit for, I mean, it seems like, you know, you definitely know what you're doing. I mean, these people are getting thousands and thousands of views. But something I'm curious about too is, like, you know, not everybody can have a hit every single time. And I think a lot of people, like, you know, they'll have like a video flop and they'll delete it, so that way it doesn't affect their account. It doesn't look like they have flops. Personally, I mean, when I have a video do bad, I'm like, I just feel like I've wasted time. My whole day is wasted.
Yeah, I know what that feels like.
Yeah, people are paying you money for this. So, like, how do you, I mean, I'm sure you've had videos not do well for other people. So how do you handle that?
I don't do it well. I stress very, there's a few clients I don't take as personally, cause it's a little more, it's less personal with a few of the clients, but like some of my you know, like Philly. Philly was my first real like growth story, if you will, because he was sitting at about 80 something before we started, which is not bad. But then me and him very strategically started making things. So anytime something didn't work, it kind of sucked. You know what I mean? But then, I mean, we started, once we caught traction though, we just didn't miss. Like, I don't know. There was just something about it that we just had a very good chemistry and, but no, in regards to what you were saying though, like, it's one of those things. It's like, I take it very personally. Like, even not where I'm at now, I take it more personally when one of my guys' videos doesn't do well, more than I take, you know, my own shit not doing well, because mine's just kind of for fun right now. But it's not easy, man. Like, because we all, you know, it feels good when a video does well. It's one of the better feelings. So it's like when it flops, that's hard, man. That's hard not to sit there and focus on that. And I have a lot of people, like, when we have one do bad, it's like, fuck, I just want to give up, or, you know, stuff like that. A lot of people go through that, though. I mean, they don't handle rejection well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about, like, being at the mercy of the algorithm. It's like, it sucks, because sometimes the content is good. I mean, like, for example, I had Benjamins last week, and he's, like, a prime example of that. TikTok was, like, killing his videos for so long, and on YouTube Shorts, they're getting, like, thousands and hundreds of thousands of views, and it's like, at what point is the content bad versus just for some reason the TikTok algorithm doesn't like it? It's kind of hard to differentiate the two.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I feel like at the end of the day, it's just with TikTok, like, they very much care about watch time anymore. And I feel like the reason we're seeing so many viral videos coming back up right now on the FYP, which a lot of people have been talking about, is because they are pushing so hard on watch time, and unfortunately that's a lot of can be blamed on, like, people share botting and stuff like that, where you know, they had people either had a few of their friends or something just spamming share and, you know, stuff like that, and getting their videos to blow up that way. So now I think they, like, 90% of push is reliant on watch time, which is weird because TikTok is so goldfish brain, it's hard to keep people watching, which is why I think YouTube Shorts is doing so well right now, because the YouTube audience isn't used to short videos, so they're watching these 60-second videos like they're nothing, because they're used to 15-minute videos. So what's 60 seconds, you know what I mean? So I think that'll eventually balance out, but right now, yeah, YouTube Shorts is gonna be killing it.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. Thing about, I don't know what happened too, but I mean, same thing with Benjamins, and I think a lot of people that are trying it have been experiencing it. I started uploading my TikToks, and I was getting decent traction. I think the highest I got was like 18,000 views, which, you know, is pretty good. And then the last like 5 or 6 that I've uploaded have been like not getting pushed at all to the shelf. I think like 5, 6 views. So something funky's going on. I mean, like you said, it'll probably all balance it out, but what is your thoughts on, because people have thrown conspiracy theories out before that TikTok doesn't like gaming content for whatever reason. Do you think there's any truth? No, not true at all?
Not at all. I think the problem with gaming content is we live in a very different avenue of TikTok. We live in a completely original content area, which is not normal, so it's way more hit or miss. The problem is we don't have trends to follow, really. I mean, we do a little bit, like loadout videos, or, you know, like the whole Sugar Crash thing ended up translating because of Mike Oofs and those guys, but it's pretty rare that that kind of stuff happens. So a lot of the time it is completely reliant on our creativity to, you know, make it work, because we don't have some dance to fall back on with TikTok. You know, we can't just follow the trend and get a viral video. It's mostly original content, and that's what makes it difficult. And unfortunately, especially with gaming, it's all subjective. Like, people are either going to love it, or they're going to hate it, or they're not going to give a shit. Like, one of those three. And it's unfortunately completely on us to figure out what that's going to be. Because even if you do a loadout video, there's no guarantee anyone's going to give a crap about it. Like, you could follow the cookie cutter method and it still might not work, you know? So it's hard. Very hard.
Yeah, TikTok seems to be getting harder too. I mean, I've stopped, like, you know, I used to care really hard about that kind of stuff, and I used to like find news to report on and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think that's how I, like, I grew a little bit of my account off that. But I just, honestly, I stopped caring and I just posted. I'm posting stuff for fun now. Like, I just get funny clips and I post it. If it does well, it does well. If it doesn't, like, I'm just, you know, I'm not too worried about it.
Right. No, I mean, then that's probably a more enjoyable way to go about it, honestly.
100%. But, I mean, there's other guys out there. I'm trying to remember his name, Zeph Gaming. I'm sure you know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely killed it and exploded. His, like, whole focus is, you know, finding the news and being the first person to report on it and being there immediately. Yeah. So, I think there's definitely two different... You know, there's many more, but I think the two biggest things that help you grow on TikTok is either being that person to report stuff about a certain subject and knowing that people can, you know, they'll find stuff out by following your account, or just being a very strong personality, which I think Sally is a Dog is like the pioneer of that. He was the first one to really go out there and like show his personality, show how funny he is. You know, he didn't go out there and just, like, have a loadout video and be like, hey, use this on your gun. No, he added, like, major personality to it. And he's like, it still shows in everything that he does. I mean, it's crazy how much he's done.
Yeah. Sally was also very good at he was, I think, one of the first person to know the power of captions on his videos. He was very the thing Sally does really well, or two things really well that Sally does, is he's got great. You know, I don't know if dry humor is the right word for it, but he has a very good sense of humor where he doesn't have to try very hard at it, but his jokes just hit, like always hit. And then he also is very good at something called pattern interrupts, where he knows how to change scenes really well to capture your attention. He's changing camera angles. He's changing from having a camera on to not having a camera on. He's changing from him narrating what's going on to him talking to the camera. So there's a lot of pattern interrupts going on in Sally's videos, and he's always done that really well.
Interesting. I didn't even know there was a name for that, so that's actually interesting. Now that I think about it, yeah, he does a lot of stuff like that, and I think that's something that definitely helps. Because like you said, like the goldfish brain, I mean, people lose attention easily. So I guess that's one of those tricks that you have to use to keep people interested. On that note, I mean, with how many people that you've edited for, how many videos that you've made, if you had to guess, how many videos do you think you made for TikTok?
I don't want to guess. like a busy day for me is about 10 TikToks and one YouTube. So I've been doing that for a while now. So quite a few are out there that I've made. Yeah. I have no idea how many.
How long does it take you to edit like a TikTok? I mean, I know it varies. Yeah.
Yeah. So like a Joe style clip where it's gameplay. Like if I usually with Joe's stuff, it's also easier with Joe because he just trusts me to do whatever I'm at this point. So he's just like, here's a clip, make it cool. and we just kind of go from there. But like if there's a lot of captions, if it's a very informational or very story driven video, you know, it can take, you know, 3 to 4 hours, like a very, like on the high side, but on average, like a gameplay clip, maybe an hour, maybe less, depending, you know, how quickly I can get it done, but it just depends.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I mean, it definitely depends. I mean, like you said, it's just crazy. I mean, 10 TikToks in one day. I mean, I get so tired after I do like two or three.
Yeah, that was an extreme circumstance, but I think that's the most I've done in one day.
Man. So on that note, I mean, with how many that you've made and how many people that you're working with, what are some of the techniques that you've learned that kind of help it hit the For You page or have the video do well?
I think just capturing, like doing anything to capture attention and make it feel organic, which is a tough combination, because those two typically don't go well together. Because capturing attention typically means you're doing something other than normal for that video. So just little things, though. I mean, like I was saying with Sally's stuff, like captions are great. It makes people, not only does it give them something to watch, but now they can read something as well. So there's two different focuses there. Changing from having a camera on the screen to not having a camera on the screen. Doing little, like I said, you have so the average time you have to recapture attention is about 3 to 4 seconds. So you have, we'll say about 4 seconds before someone's going to start contemplating whether they're going to scroll your video or not. And you have about 4 seconds when someone starts watching your video to interest them into watching longer. So having a solid hook in the beginning, whether it's interesting or something informational or something funny. So you have to not only pace yourself with those four, once you capture about 4 seconds, it increases to about 6 seconds on how long someone will watch your video. And then you might, you know, you have another 6 seconds before you can lose them again, that type of thing. But you also have to end well, because even if they watch the whole thing, you want them to interact with your videos. So you want something to punch at the end, rather it's the fact that you loop them. And if you loop them, then you're just getting extra watch time and you might not get an interaction because they're irritated that you looped them. But so like there's a lot of different things you could do, but like I like having a good punchline at the end, even like on an informational video. If you watch some of my loadout stuff I do for people, I'll end it with like a funny reaction that somebody had right after the loadout, or a funny hot mic right at the end. Even on a loadout video, have a funny hot mic to end the video and just organize it that way. And that way, you know, someone was like, oh, I got a loadout and it made me laugh. You know what I mean? So they'll more likely to heart or comment or share, you know. So I think it's all important, you know. You know, capturing attention every few seconds and then ending on a punch, I think, is super important to making a good video. And there's way too many ways to explain like how to go about doing that, but
yeah, there's I think people will learn as they go on. I mean, I think that the good thing is that, like, you know, if people are just starting out, I think it's definitely harder to, you know, capture somebody's attention. You definitely have to work harder than you did like a year ago. But I think that there's so much knowledge that if anybody truly has the skill for it and the drive to do it, I still think it's possible.
Yeah,
but it is going to be harder. But yeah, it's something like I had Sam Bucha. Do you know who Sam Bucha is?
I don't.
He is a variety streamer, and his content really stood out to me because he's somebody that I had that wasn't Warzone related. And he makes variety stuff like Just Chatting, GeoGuessr stuff, and his stuff is very unique. And he had the kind of the same point. Like, he always makes, you know, in the first 3 seconds of the video, somebody knows what's happening. Somebody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you over-deliver, so that way people are more engaged. I also saw a YouTube video a little bit ago, and it was about, basically the title, it stopped me. It said, "Stop asking people to subscribe to your channel." And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. And I can't remember who it was by. I wish I remember the name. But the basis of the video was that subscriptions are useless because people are subscribing to you. That doesn't mean that they're going to watch your videos. Whereas if you ask them to like your videos, that's something that somebody can do multiple times. So even if your subscribers are watching your video, they can like your video still, and they can do it multiple times, and that's going to boost you to the algorithm. I haven't experimented it much with TikTok, but I feel like that kind of same concept would apply rather than asking people to follow you, because there's no saying that they're still going to see your videos. Whereas if you ask them to like your videos, your followers that are already following you can like the video or be reminded to like it. I feel like that might perform a little bit better. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's probably more relevant to YouTube, even if it was about TikTok, only because, like, for instance, I'd recently started doing Lucci's YouTube videos too. And I know that's something we're shifting our focus to on YouTube, is asking for likes rather than subscribers. But on TikTok, and actually, Brian, I don't know if you know who BM Nadir TV is. He was, so he was the smallest person I've started with. He was maybe 400 followers, I think, when we started. And he is about to push, he's about to push past 80K. And one thing that has kind of helped jumpstart that, because we were getting tons of views and likes, like, that was fine, but like, he wasn't gaining the followers, and we started doing the CTAs for follows again. And as much as the FYP, because how many big creators were whining about, you know, their followers not seeing their videos, the FYP does have more, you know, videos that you follow now. So I think it's kind of shifted. I think I would have, a couple months ago, I would have agreed with you. But I think right now, I think follower CTAs are important. Now, I will say how you go about them has to be done correctly, because if it's not interesting or funny, they will scroll. If they feel advertised to, they will scroll. And so you can't just say follow for more like you used to be able to do. You do have to make it interesting or funny, or but I do think it's still important to incentivize people to follow your account, because there's tons of videos that don't, and for whatever reason, you know, people just aren't geared to think, okay, I want to follow this account for more content. So bringing it up or somehow implying it, like I've even just like when a loadout scrolling through at the very end of the loadout, you know, just kind of put a subtle follow something in there. But the ones that have worked the best are the funny, like, okay, so the perfect example is BM Nadir TV did this video where he basically just talked crap about his dad being a deadbeat for a loadout video. And at the end, he said, follow for daddy issues, and it worked really well. Like, just silly stuff like that, though, where it's just like, if it's entertaining, like, people are more likely to do what you ask them to do, so... I think that works.
Interesting. That's I like that take. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, people hate call to actions, but I definitely think that they work. I wish there was a way to really like track how well it worked. I really wish we could see who's following off of videos that, you know, we post. I think that TikTok is changing a lot with its analytics, though. I don't know if I'm sure you've noticed, because I'm sure you look at it, but they've added a lot of cool features, like you can actually filter by date range and all that.
Yeah.
So I hope TikTok,
I think they'll get there.
Yeah, I hope TikTok becomes more useful in that aspect. What do you think is the most important analytic when it comes to TikTok videos? Because, you know, there's watch time, there's likes, there's shares, there's all of this. People
easily
that follow
watch time. Easily. Like, I think followers on videos specifically to the video are really important still. But I feel like likes, comments, and shares don't do a whole lot, if I'm being honest. Like, they still matter, don't get me wrong. But like I said, they seem like they make a lot less difference now. Because I've seen some videos hit a million and have terrible interaction because people are watching them, though. They're watching these videos all the way through or more. So even if it's a video they didn't like, but for whatever reason it kept them watching, I think... Because I've had some, even myself, I've had terrible interaction videos just get tons of views. And so I think they had great watch time. So I feel like that's definitely king right now is watch time.
So let me pull this up here. Do you know who Gritzy is? Gritzy BR?
No, Gritzy is.
Yeah. Okay, so let me pull this up. Maybe you saw this tweet, but maybe we can analyze and find a reason. So he had two videos do really well. I think like 3 days apart. The first video hit 400,000 views and 136,000 likes. So really good ratio there. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's less than a 1.5 ratio. Which is really good. Average watch time is 16.4 seconds on a 14-second video, so that's more than 100%.
Mm-hmm.
3,000 shares, 1,700 comments, and then his second video was 40 seconds long. It had 688,000 plays, so it did better than the other one. 94,000 likes, so a smaller ratio, less likes, 95 shares, 284 comments, and it had a 31-second watch time. So that was like, what is that, 90% or something like that? So you look at that, and you think that the 14-second video should have popped off even more based off of all those statistics, yet the longer video with a less watch time percentage, less like ratio and all that did way better, almost double. I mean, so why do you think that is?
Because at least, and this could just be, I don't know if this is true or not, but from my observation, TikTok is more forgiving on watch time ratio the longer the video gets. So, like, I've had, for instance, I had this was when I was still doing Variety, which I might go back to. But when I was playing Among Us, I had my most viral video was 53 seconds long. But it had a 42-second watch time, so it went. I mean, it did like 8.5 million views or something. I don't know where it ended up being at, but and one thing I've noticed consistently through videos is longer videos have a more forgivable watch time because you're still getting people to watch something on their platform for longer. So if you do say like you have a 12-second video, you better be confident you can get more than 100% watch time. Like, you better loop them. They better need to come back and see like a quick loadout or something. you have to get more than 100% watch time if you want a short video to go viral. But whereas something that's like, you know, 40 seconds plus, you really need about 70% watch time. And if you can achieve that, it's probably gonna send it, because you're getting more watch time still overall. So the ratio, I think, is lower that you need on longer videos. And I think it's kind of like a sliding scale. The longer it gets versus the shorter it gets, how much percentage you need. So like an 8-second video is going to need 140% watch time versus a 45-second video is going to need like 70-something percent in order to get sent. So, which both have their challenges, but, you know, I think if you've got a lot of good information and very entertaining, I think longer videos are, you know, they can be very lucrative. They're a bit of a risk, but they're also, you know, it's one of those, I think it's kind of like a high risk, high reward thing. Like, because you're, I mean, the safer bet is like the 15 to 22 second average, you know what I mean? But I do think long videos are worth it sometimes. I think they're very good. I mean, some of Philly's best videos were 55 second rants, you know what I mean? So, if you can keep people watching and you're polarizing, you're entertaining, or you're very informative, you know, one of those three, I think long videos are great.
Crazy. Wow. I mean, I used to be a hard, like, believer in, like, not making long videos. I never went past 45 seconds because anytime I had a video past that, it never really did well because that same reason. Right. So if you have do you make videos under 60 seconds, or do you always try to keep under that?
I've never pushed 60. I do try to, I think the longest, there's been a few exceptions, and for whatever reason they worked out, where we hit like 55 seconds or something. But for the most part, I try not to go too terribly long, just because, like I said, they are a little bit riskier. But if it's a really good video with like completely full of dialogue and like interesting things going on, I will, you know, we'll stretch it out. It's so dependent. Like, if it's a very entertaining video, send it. Like, let it be long. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in, like, if you have something, if you think there's a solid idea, I say just post it. Because, you know, absolutely, there's a lot of times, yeah, where I make, like, a bunch of videos. And, you know, I'll post, like, my really good ones 3 days in a row. And they'll do okay. And then the next day I have, like, you know, nothing
it's
really to post.
Ones you don't think.
Yeah, it's always the filler videos. And I don't know why. Mm-hmm.
I feel that so much, dude.
I hate it.
I do, too. Like, I posted, like, this really, something I was really excited about and, like, was one of the most amazing parts of streaming for me. And then that did, like, 3,000 likes versus this stupid video I posted of a guy, one of my friends overkill, like, rocket launched someone's dead body and blew up a car. And it was just something I just made for filler and I thought was funny. That thing did, like, 70,000 likes. I'm just like, why? You know what I mean? So, always just post it. Just post it. You know, who knows?
Yeah, Haylight has said, I'm sure you know who Haylight is as well. He said TikTok feeds off your excitement. So if you're excited about something, it just knows not to push it.
Yeah, I feel that.
Oh, man. So are you, with YouTube Shorts popping off, are you doing any YouTube Shorts editing as well? Or is it mainly exclusively?
I think most people, you can just repurpose TikToks for that. I don't think you need to. Now, one thing I did read on YouTube Shorts that a lot of people are agreeing that is really important. If you're gonna post to YouTube Shorts, I would at least make a decent thumbnail and a good title, because it's still YouTube, and that still clickability still really matters on YouTube. So definitely, like, even if you just got to learn a little Photoshop, I mean, it's not too difficult. Just throw something semi-attractive and legible together for a thumbnail, because that is one thing that YouTube Shorts is very different on from TikTok. A good thumbnail goes a long way on YouTube. So definitely learn that if you want to get serious about shorts. That's something I would suggest.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
I've
always
heard that. That's the key difference.
Yeah, SEO is going to be really important. I think if there's not really any SEO, it's not going to get pushed.
Yeah.
But, let's see. What off the top of your head, do you know, like, the most popular video you've ever posted for not yourself, but, like, anybody, any client?
Oof, that's a toughie. It's got to be between Mutex and Joe, though. Mutex, I just posted probably Mutex's most popular video over the weekend. It was a joke about him hacking, actually. And I think it's sitting at like 150,000 likes or something. I don't know what the views are. I know they're over 1 million. But it's probably between that and a Joe video. I think Joe's is probably bigger. There was a couple of Joe videos that have pushed past a couple million. I'm trying to think. Although, you know what? It might even because it's so hard to tell because Brian and Philly also, or B and Madeir TV and Philly also have a few that have pushed past a million. Like we hit that random, and this is the whole back to the you never know thing, because we had this random clip with Brian where it was just a joke about his friend making a comment about rooftops in downtown, and we just made a joke about counting out the rooftops in the editing. And that thing, I think that thing got pushed, you know, Barstool Sports wanted it, and like there was just all kinds, like it got a lot of traction. So it's hard to say, but I mean, the bigger ones are, you know, probably at least a few million views. I'm not sure exactly. And like this, there's just, I don't know. It's hard to say. I'd have to go back through and look, but there's quite a few that are past, you know, 2, 3 million. So actually, I think Brian might have it then, because I think that rooftop video did like 4 or 5 million. I don't know. But like I said, it's just those random videos that you really don't know what they're gonna do, but then people just love it.
It's tough, especially for people that don't have the time to edit everything too. Because I know, like, you know, I have a decent amount of time, but there's a lot of the times where I'll have like 5 clips in a VOD, and I'm like, I only do like 3 of them, and then by the time that I like don't have anything to post, I've already like forgotten those two. I mean, for people that have a luxury of having an editor, I mean, it's nice. Because I think that, you know, even the ones that you don't think will pop off, they still get posted. I stopped posting every day. I used to post every single day for
I
months.
don't think it's as important anymore.
Definitely not. I don't think consistency is as important. I think that
The
quality
quality is,
yeah, for sure. Quality is going to be more
100%.
important. And just it got so draining. And I feel like I was posting just to post rather than.
Yeah. I feel that on a personal level, I was the same way too. So it's like, that's why it's a lot easier for me to make stuff for guys. 'Cause like, that's the other thing too, is like, you're probably the same way as I am. Like, I'm way overly critical of my own stuff. So then I end up like overthinking stuff and putting way too much energy into these, you know, 30-second videos and, you know, second guessing and all this other stuff. So, I feel like having an editor is kind of freeing in that form, because you have somebody's that's not you who can see the positive. Because I feel like it's a lot harder for us to see, you know, what Wolf, because we're so down. I feel like a lot of people are overly critical on themselves. Like for me, I'll think something is stupid, whereas my friend thought that was hilarious. So, but I wouldn't have saw that because I thought I was just stupid. You know what I mean? Like being self-doubt, basically. So like, I think it's good to have, even if you don't have an editor, have a friend look at something you've made. Like that was something before I started editing for people. I had a good friend who's still, you know, he still makes content too. We would look at each other's stuff and be like, oh, that's funny, or oh, you should cut this out, or oh, that's stupid. You know what I mean? So having fresh eyes to help, no matter who it is, or as long as they're familiar with the area, or having like TikTok friends, that was something that helped too. Like I've been friends with Min for a long time, and we go back and forth on stuff, and you know, we'll double check things, and it's just good to have people that are, you know, in a similar space on your team, like looking at your stuff and letting you know that's stupid, that's good, that type of thing. So
Yeah, definitely people that are going to be like honest.
yeah, oh, you don't want yes men around you.
How many people do you have right now that you're consistently making videos for?
Trying to think. We've got, let's see. Consistently, I'm gonna have to just name them out because I'm terrible about this. See, we've got Joe Mutex, Philly Mamba, we've got BM Nadir TV. That's five. I've got a guy named Sir Claps. I do half of Min's stuff. So, see, that's seven. I mean, are we? I'm doing Lucci's YouTube, so I think that counts. Eight. There's other people that like I do part-time stuff for too. So, like, I would say I think eight full-timers is a safe bet. Oh, Jared FPS, Jesus. Nine. me and Jared have been killing it lately too. He's doing awesome. I'm trying to think. I want to say that's it, but I'm probably forgetting somebody, and they're going to kill me for that. but I think nine, I want to say. But like I said, I do help, you know, every now and again, I'll do a clip for somebody either just to help them out or if somebody needs a commission. I really don't do commissions anymore just because, like, I never know if I'm going to have time to do them. So I always feel bad saying yes and then not being able to do it. So, because in the beginning I said yes to way too many people. So, it's one of those things, like, I've had to completely stop taking anybody, which sucks. Sensei, I don't know. Do you know who Sensei Swisham is by chance? She plays similarly to, like, Joe and stuff. So we've talked. I think she's just not sure exactly what she wants to do on TikTok, but that's somebody I might be working with in the future. So, like, 9 or 10 people, I'm sure I forgot a name in there, and they can yell at me later. It's fine.
Do you have a limit on how many people that you're going to take, or do you feel like you're almost at that limit?
Oh, I'm beyond that limit, honestly. I should be cutting, like, half the people I have. But I don't know. I think I'm okay for now just because not all these guys are I think everyone's learned that posting every day is not necessarily a good thing. So, you know, doing, you know, 4 to 5 posts a week with that many people is okay. Now, when I first started and we were doing 7 days a week with all these people, I was definitely overwhelmed. So now that it's kind of people are figuring out, okay, maybe we should not post 7 days a week. It's gotten a little easier on that front, but I think it's very dependent on who you're working with too, because a lot of these guys are very chill. You know, if we can't get a video out that day you know what I mean? So it just depends. Like I said, that one day where I had everybody needing a video was a lot, but for the most part, it's not too bad.
If your own streaming ever popped off in your own TikTok, like let's say that you're averaging hundreds of viewers, you know, you do it enough to be able to make a full-time income, do you think that you would quit editing for people?
No, absolutely not. I love it way too much. I get way more satisfaction out of seeing like my buddy Brian gaining 50,000 followers in a week. That was so cool. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it when I was on my come up too. And I still could do a lot more, obviously, but I stopped really trying to grow a few months ago when this all really popped off. So I don't know, man. I feel like the editing side of things is a good balance for me, and keeping my content as kind of like the part-time hobby makes me enjoy that more too. Because when I was doing the full-time content, I didn't enjoy it as much, honestly. But now that it's been more of a, I'm doing it for, like you were saying, like for fun and as a hobby, I feel like I like it better. So having the editing as the primary, I think, will probably be just how it is. I mean, if by some chance, like, because when I was doing variety, I was averaging 50 to 100, and then I ruined my momentum by taking a break because I was working full time and had shit going on. But I mean, like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I would. It would have to be a lot better because I love working, like, I love working with Lucci. Like, I love our conversation. It's fun getting to work with these dudes, you know, their content and, you know, seeing how their mind works. And I love when something does well, like just knowing I was a part of that. I don't know. For me, that hits harder than my own stuff popping off. Like, I love if one of my videos go viral, but I'm just not like, I get more excited when one of their videos goes off, honestly. It's just a good feeling. I don't know. I probably wouldn't.
No, I mean, that's good. I mean, when you really enjoy doing something, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool that you were able to, like, kind of get into that. And I think, like, a lot of people don't really, like, try to get into that kind of stuff. It kind of just happens. I mean, I don't think...
Yeah, it just definitely happened. That was not the plan. No, not at all. It was more of, like, it was a happy accident, I guess, or an opportunity that just kind of presented itself and just kind of jumped on it and it worked out. So, and that, like, I was definitely not learning how to edit as hard as I was thinking I was going to be an editor. I was doing it so that I would have good content. But after working with Joe for a few months, I was like, I think this is what I want to do. And so I'm just super happy that worked out that way, because I think I'm much happier getting to edit full time than I would be Because I love streaming. I do. I love all of it. I don't know. I like editing more.
Yeah. That's good. And so have you only ever used Premiere Pro for editing?
Yeah. I don't. I've dabbled in Adobe Rush, but that was back when I was working full time. And sometimes I couldn't finish something on my computer. But no, Premiere is all I've really had experience with. I've looked at DaVinci, but I've never learned on anything else. I feel like once you pick something, you should definitely stick to it, as long as it's a relevant program. Just because you can keep expanding, and instead of having to reset and learn what you already know in a different program. So
that's what I was going to ask you too, because I use DaVinci, and I've always ever used DaVinci, and I've gotten pretty decent at it. I mean, there's definitely more that I can know. I know like the bare bones, but you know, I always hear everybody using Premiere Pro, and I feel like I wonder if the Switch would be worth it, but I don't know.
I think those two are similar enough that your Switch would be easy. Just because they're very similar. They look a little different, but their layouts are actually kind of similar, like at least from what I've seen. I don't know, man. It just depends on how deep you want to go. If you're just making it to get your content onto TikTok, but I mean, if you're really trying to, the one thing I do like about Premiere is there's a lot of not only good information, but there's a lot of free assets out there for Premiere Pro. I have a stupid amount of effects and, you know, just, I don't know, lots of cool shit that I just downloaded for free. And, you know, I don't think a lot of programs have that option. So that's something to think about. But it depends on how much you're trying to get into it, man. I mean, like, I feel like DaVinci is super relevant. I think as far as free platforms go, I think that's the right one to go with, 100%. I mean, people like Lucci built his whole career off DaVinci. And so, like, there's zero wrong with DaVinci. It really just comes down to, I mean, do you want to get into being able to do, like, all the crazy effects and stuff? Because I don't know what the capability is on a DaVinci on that side of things. And I actually need to learn more of After Effects to take to the next level, just finding the time. But I don't think there's anything wrong with DaVinci at all. I think you guys can do pretty much all the same things for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, as far as basic stuff goes, yeah, I'm sure that it's probably pretty similar. I know that DaVinci has their own version of After Effects, DaVinci Fusion.
Do they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and
I don't even know.
I've dabbled in there to do a couple things here and there just from tutorials, but, ooh, does it look complicated. Oh, God.
the production level stuff is definitely weird, or a whole nother monster at that.
That's why I say, like, I know DaVinci, but, like, I only know basic stuff. Like, I don't touch any of those other tabs because it's, you know, I think I just use the cut tab and then the audio tab and, like, that, like, Fusion tab. It's scary. It's scary in there.
Yeah, I could see that. After Effects is very intimidating, too. So I haven't messed with it a whole lot, just a little bit. And I'd much rather just kind of import assets just because I'm not a visual effects designer. You know, I don't know that I maybe one day I'll, you know, get my self-taught degree in VFX or something. But for now, for what I'm doing most of the time, I can just find assets to bring into Premiere and use it that way. I'm sure eventually, especially if I keep going with YouTube, I might need to get, you know, more into it. But at the time, I don't feel like it's necessary. So I think you're fine. Like, do you know how to keyframe and stuff like that in DaVinci? Okay. Because, like, I feel like if you can learn to opacity keyframe and to do keyframing in general, I feel like you can pretty much do anything you need to. And does DaVinci allow you to, like, bring in presets and stuff like that to make your life easier? Or?
Yeah, I believe so. I never really messed with them. I probably should have, but no, yeah, they definitely have presets. The one thing that I haven't been able to figure out, though, is I feel like the text animations and the text that you're able to do is way different. Because I figured out how to do text popping on DaVinci, but it doesn't look really anything like I've seen people do on Premiere. And I like the way it looks on Premiere way more, and I've never been able to figure that out.
I don't know how it is in DaVinci, but there are different types of animation for everything between video, images, text, and Premiere does a good job of separating that. So in Premiere for text, there's actually a specific option under text that is like geared for animating text properly. So I have no idea if that has something to do with it, because like I know if I used to do my text animation through the video animation, and it didn't look as good as it does under the text animation. So I don't know if that's why it looks different. But yeah, that might be the difference. I'm not sure though.
Yeah, I'll have to experiment. So what do you find more enjoyable? Because for me personally, like editing TikToks, I find fun, but I cannot sit down and edit a YouTube video. I just do not have the patience to sit there and edit a 15-minute video with an hour footage. I can't do it. So, I mean, what about you? How do you feel about that?
I actually I like editing YouTube more than I like TikTok. It's a lot more relaxed because most of the editing just happens in the intro. Most of the gameplay is just trimming the fat and maybe highlighting some funny moments. But for the most part, it's just very, because like I feel like on TikTok, and it might just be because I've done so much TikTok versus YouTube, but like on TikTok, I feel like you're having to stress over every second on your short video, whereas YouTube is a lot of breathing room. You can kind of just relax and be like, okay, that was funny, let's highlight that. And like, you really just have to worry about being captivating in the intro, which is still, like, I feel like a lot more relaxed than TikTok, because I feel like TikTok is just very, you're grasping at every second. So I feel like, and to be honest, I do spend more time on YouTube videos, but that's mostly just because of the length. It's not difficulty. Like, I feel like I still believe TikTok is harder to edit for, just because you really do have to be very captivating in that short video. And like, you're kind of trying to make sure every second is extremely watchable, versus where YouTube, you're basically trying to make 30% of the video very watchable. And then the rest of it is almost, I wouldn't say filler, but it's not as hard edited like it is on TikTok. So I don't know. I think YouTube's more relaxing to edit for, even if it does take a little longer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you might be a little bit biased on this question, but you know, a lot of people say that editing is like the most important skill that you can learn as a content creator, especially starting out when you're not really making any income on it. People don't really have the money unless they have, you know, the luxury of a good paying job to pay somebody else to do it. So I mean, if for somebody starting out, would you recommend that they learn to edit themselves and do their own stuff, or would you, if they have the money, would you tell them to get an editor?
I think it depends, because if you do have a full-time job, I mean, you probably have enough. It just depends. Like, because it was very hard to learn to edit with a full-time job. I feel like if I was going the full content route, because eventually you're going to hire editor, because once you get to that point. So if you can find somebody who's decent and cheap starting out, I say go for it, because if you're really going all in, and you plan on doing this full time as a career, then go for it, get an editor. But I think if, you know, you're still kind of, I think either way you can't go wrong learning to edit. Even if you just learn simple shit, I mean, at least starting out, learning how to put text on screen and doing hard jump cuts is not difficult. You know what I mean? You're kind of just piecing footage together. So I don't think there's anything, I don't know that I would say either. I think if you can afford it, get an editor. If not, I mean, you don't have a choice. Learn to edit. And I think it's a very useful skill to have, because even if you have an editor, if they're not available, you can at least do your own stuff when you need to. But I think it just varies from person to person. If you can afford it, I think it's awesome, because it's a lot more enjoyable to just be the person creating. Like, I know, like Brian, I keep bringing him up. He hated editing. He learned enough to get his stuff on TikTok, but he hated it. And I think having me has made it a lot more enjoyable and a lot easier for him to put out more content. So I think it's person dependent. If someone can learn it quickly and edit quickly and still do what they need to do as a creator while having a full-time job, see, that's the hard balance, is finding the time. And that's half the time. I mean, I edit for people that know how to edit just fine, and it's more of a time-saving thing for them. So it's really, I feel like it's case by case dependent. If it's an extremely busy person who has, you know, some extra income, I say save the stress and get an editor. It's the same thing with anything, though. If you want to save yourself time, I think it's more important that you realize how you want to balance your day. What do you want to focus on? If you want to be a good editor and you want to be self-sufficient, I think, hell yeah, self-teach. It's just going to take a while. And that's the other thing. Some people want to, you know, hit that ground running and not have to worry about learning a whole new skill set. But I think everyone should, at least a little bit, starting out, just so you know what goes into it. And if you need to starting out, you can. Like, I mean, you knowing how to edit is great, because you don't have to rely on somebody getting a video back to you in time. So there's pros and cons, definitely.
I think that knowing the back end too, you kind of know what to ask for too, and you kind of know what's important. Yeah,
100%. Knowing the process is important. That's a good point.
The hardest part about hiring an editor, I feel like, because I've hired editors like off of Fiverr for YouTube videos and stuff, and I've had some shit ones and I've had some good ones.
Yeah, oh, I feel that.
The hardest part is finding somebody that's going to match your personality and match your style and go for the tone that you're going for. Some people are serious, some people are comedy, some people want like fast jump cuts. Like it's, you know, some people just don't get the personality right, you know?
That's a hard mashup. Yeah, you got to, that's why like some of the guys I do work with, like it's more corporate. I don't really talk to them much, but like 90% of the guys I work with, I mesh with like on a personality level pretty well. So I think that makes a big difference. And I think it's important to treat it more as a working relationship than just having an editor, like, because you guys want to have a good relationship. You want them to understand what it is you want your stuff to look like, who you are. I think that's extremely important to know the personality, like, of the person you're working with. I think that's huge. And I try to keep that in mind for my guys too. I mean, obviously some of the editing style translates and people are like, oh, you know, I know who your editor is, which is fine, I guess. But I do try to keep it unique for each person to an extent. And I think that's important.
Yeah, that's funny. There's definitely some stuff that you have in there that you can definitely tell. Other than that, I think that we covered a lot of stuff here. We're getting close, just under the hour here. I have one more thing that I like to do at the end, where I go back and scroll to the person's very, very first TikTok that they've ever made, kind of analyze it, talk about it, see what's changed. But before we get to that, is there anything that you want to note on? Anything that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Not really, man. I think I love that you're doing this, though. This is cool that you're, you know, bringing different. I love the podcast stuff. I wish more people would do it. I think it's a great way to meet people too, and just learn. Like, I feel like I've learned a lot about you through this too, and it's awesome. I don't know, it's cool.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot. I think the biggest thing, it's really cool to talk to people. I mean, I'm learning about what other people like, other people's personalities, kind of stuff that they did. I've met so many people. I feel like I've made some pretty good connections doing this. Even if there's not many people watching, and even if there's one person out here that like that's listening to it and learns like a thing or two, I think that's probably the most important thing. Yeah. But all right, let me share my screen here and pull this up. This is always the fun part. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Very first one's privated, so the first one you're gonna see is not quite the first one. It's one of the first edited ones though, so that's.
I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that have privated their very, very old stuff. Oh,
yeah. Indeed.
But I mean, yeah, I see that you have their very first one has popped off, 500,000 views, eh?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that was like, honestly, like my fifth or sixth video. It wasn't super old or super new or anything. I didn't go back and do all that, but a lot has changed, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, let me pull this up. So it's because I stopped doing these on YouTube just because it's too much work. Only audio now, just in case anyone's wondering that's listening. It's just too much work to do YouTube videos. And plus, like, my face, it's just too much. So it's strictly audio. M13 loadout is the cat or the thumbnail of this video.
Someone right there.
This gun melts, dude.
Which one is that?
See ya.
I hate this video.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yep, I see him.
Downed one.
Here it is, the meathead Sia build. It is the muzzle with the monolithic suppressor, barrel with the Tempest Marksman, optic, of course, is the VLK 3.0, underbarrel Ranger foregrip, rear grip stipple grip tape. Someone right there?
It's so funny, dude. That video was just an attempt to get Standman's attention back in the day, actually.
Oh, really? A little bait there?
Yeah. I definitely baited him with that, and it didn't work. I think he intentionally ignored it, because we talked about it later, because we've talked a few times recently, and I showed him that. He was like, I remember that video, and he ignored it, because at the time, like, everybody was baiting him with M13 stuff. I didn't realize everybody was doing it, but it's kind of funny to listen, like, later. Like, yeah, he was like, yeah, I intentionally ignored that video.
Oh, man. It's hilarious you say that, actually, because I remember when Lucci was popping off and everybody was doing sniper videos because he called himself the Sniper King. I did the same thing. I had a couple videos where I was, like, calling him out. So I get that. Oh, man.
For sure, dude.
Yeah, you could definitely see different style back then, though. I mean, a lot of the stuff translated, you had that call to action, that little, like, Mickey Mouse thumb pointing towards the follow, all that animated text effects and all that. But it's definitely changed a lot. You don't really do that circle cam anymore, huh?
No, I was one of the first people that gave me a time of day was Mark Clark, and that was his little style was this. And that was all came from Cruzader, which I think most people know her, and that whole style kind of came from that. And it was very easy to do in Premiere, so, you know, it was just an easy go-to, and I used it for a long time. But I really don't like the circle cam anymore. Kind of, I don't know why. It doesn't it just doesn't look right with having all the different square pieces and then there's a circle cam. I don't know, I'm not fond of it anymore.
I get that. Yeah, I mean, it works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't work. Something in DaVinci, though, that's really actually really annoying is that the blanking fill. So for those of you guys that might not know, that effect that you have when, you know, the screen doesn't fill the whole screen and you have it so it's, like, kind of blurred where the black part of the screen would be. It's called blanking fill. Something weird with DaVinci is that if you do a blanking fill on a video and you add anything on top of it, like you add a face cam or a text effect, it breaks the blanking fill and it doesn't work anymore. And I've done so much Googling and I can't figure out how to fix it. So I just That's suffer weird. And I don't have any. If I do a blanking fill, I just have no effect on top of it.
That sucks. In Premiere, it's actually separate layers so that, that background layer is basically just, you know, a zoomed in full screen of the gameplay, and then you lay over on top of it, like they call it a crop or an opacity mask for the camera, where you just basically take a section of that screen and then drag it over. So I think it's a little different, but yeah, I don't think we have any issues with all that. That sucks.
I think you just solved my problem, actually, though. I think you solved it, because I never thought about just blurring it and then zooming it out and putting it behind it.
Yeah, I just create it in about three different layers. The background layer, the gameplay layer, and then the cam layer. And just kind of treat it like a puzzle that you just kind of bring all together.
All right, other than that, let's see. This is the lowest one of your recent videos. I mean, all of these have like hundreds, like thousands of views, which is pretty cool. So you were doing pretty good for a while. So this one got 8,000 views. A similar style. Was that really loud for you when I played it?
It wasn't too bad. I can't see which one you're looking at right now, but...
Oh, you can't? Okay, here, I'll play. It's the one that says, hold on, Lux Skill Thermite.
Oh, yeah, that one was just a random clip that I thought was cool.
Let me play that one. I'm going to turn it down before I do, though, because that was, like, blasting in my ear.
Yeah.
He went behind the radio tower looking thing.
Ah! Wait! Dude, wait!
Yeah, that one.
Okay, so there's a couple things. Wait, what was that?
There's just a lot wrong with that video. I was trying a lot of different things.
Is that the same? Boy, I think that's the same song from the first one. Let me pull this song again.
Right there.
That's the same. You were using the same song.
That was something trending at that time, and it was good for like moment highlighting, because there was that break in the song, so that's why I used it. But yeah, I think it was more important back then too, for having some kind of trending song on there. But yeah, I don't think it matters. I don't even know that it mattered then. I think it was just a theory. Cause I don't know too many people that click on a sound and like go through the videos for it, unless it's a really like a trend they really like, but you're not going to find a gaming clip where it's like, ooh, I love that trending sound. I'm going to go through all these gaming clips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think it matters.
I noticed that you use the actual like TikTok captions a lot more too. Do you think that has any effect, or like the TikTok text boxes?
Oh, on that, yeah, that was mostly like because I was working, so like if I forgot to put something in, I'd just try to do it through the TikTok editor afterwards. But no, I don't think it makes a difference, because like if you look at I know plenty of people that do really well that only use TikTok for their captions and stuff, and they do fine. So I think it's preference.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many TikTok theories out there that aren't confirmed. Some of them may be right, some of them may be wrong. One that I've heard too is that like TikTok likes to push videos that make use of the actual TikTok app. They prefer videos that aren't edited outside of it, that use text boxes, text to speech, any effects that they have, which, you know, it could be bullshit, but I mean, I don't know, you know.
I think it's bullshit. I mean, Lucci and Sally always edited their stuff, and they're two of the bigger gamers, so I mean, I don't know. I think it's BS. I think it's just if someone watches it or not, you know.
Something crazy that I noticed though the other day is this video came up on my For You page, and it stood out to me because the theory is that if, you know, you can curse in your TikTok videos. I think people have learned that you don't have to bleep it. You know, it could still pop off even if there's curse words. But most of the time, people will like censor the curse words in written form, whether it's a TikTok caption or a caption that you edited.
I do the same
most
thing.
Of the time. Yeah. Exactly. I think everybody does it. I think everybody assumes that if the word is written, TikTok's not going to like it and take it down. But this video came up on my For You page. Not only did it have a curse word written down in the video, but it also said the F word in the caption. And I saw that, and it had like millions of views. And that right there, I was like, wow. So maybe TikTok doesn't care about curse words? Because now I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, maybe we all just assume that was true because everybody else did it. And so it's kind of like that effect where, you know, because everyone else is doing it, now it's true.
Absolutely. It could very well be that. I mean, I think the risk with that is somebody could technically, like if you have people reporting that, I think it's just one of those things that TikTok is so inconsistent, because sometimes they take stuff down for that. I've seen people have videos like one of my guys Claps actually had a video taken down because I think it had just too much cursing, and they took it down for community guidelines. So it's one of those that's like there's no the problem is there's no hard set rules. They just kind of it's the same thing with like hack reports in Call of Duty, you know. It's just people reviewing people, and it's never the same, so who knows, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on at TikTok, but I mean, I've seen so many false reports, and I've seen personally, I've had a video taken down once or twice, and I've appealed it, and it went back up like 10 minutes later. I can't remember who it was, but somebody's video just got taken down for sexual nudity, and there's nothing even close to that. I think that's something.
It's just people troll reporting.
Man, pain, man. TikTok, who's running it?
One of my older videos was like, it was kind of like a Mr. Woot style where like somebody said the N-word and we clapped him because of that. And like, it got taken down for racism. And it was like, it's supposed to be the opposite. It's like, and like they put it back up because they were like, okay, you're right. But like, because I remember they actually messaged me about that one, which is rare, but yeah, it was like someone can just troll report, but because, you know, technically it was bleeped out on both sides too, obviously, but you know what I mean? It's just, it's stupid that there's not like, I feel like YouTube is better on that end of things where they have kind of a hard set rules where, you know, if it has this, it's either not getting monetized or it is getting taken down, one of the two. So, and I think monetization, which I do believe is in the works on TikTok, by the way, as far as ad revenue, I think it's going to be coming here soon. I don't know how soon, but supposedly it's in development. I think I think that'll make a lot of changes because they're going to have to make a lot of rules for that. So, and I think a lot of people, when that happens, I think I think censoring certain things is going to become more important again. Because if it's not monetizable for ad revenue, you know, people need to be more mindful of that. But until that happens, I don't think it's just kind of a crapshoot.
We love our corporate overlords and our companies out there making us censor us. Oh, yeah. Money. Oh, God. Good old corporations. Other than that, that's all I got. I think that we covered a lot. I think that I learned a thing or two. So that's all that matters. Other than that, we're at the end now. So if there's anything you want to plug your socials. If you're open to commissions or anything like that, now is your time to do so. The floor is yours.
Not really. Hit me up on Twitter if you guys want to ask any questions. It's the best way to get a hold of me. Otherwise, I have zero room for commissions. But no, I mean, I love answering questions. If anyone wants to ask me anything, hit me up on Twitter at me. Please don't DM me. My DMs are terrible now. They're just, everything is buried. But yeah, if you guys want to ask me anything, just at me on Twitter and I'll reply. But yeah, I mean, that's it.
All right. Well, that was Vonny, guys, editor for a lot of TikTokers out there. Definitely knows a thing or two. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Skylar Guns. Follow Vonny on all his socials. It'll be in the show notes. Follow me if you want. Thank you guys for listening to Twitch Talk. I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Twitch Talk with Skylar Guns. Hopefully, this podcast inspires you to elevate your creation and pushes you to achieve your goals. Hey, if Skylar can do it, anyone can. If you have questions for the show, feedback, sponsorship inquiries, or you want to be on the show, email SkylarGunsTV@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you can stay updated with all new episodes. And make sure to follow Skylar on all socials @SkylarGuns. This has been a Skylar Guns production.